Alrighty, Hatzameah to everybody, and Hatzameah to all those who are watching this with us. And it is Passover, and Passover is all about forgiveness and grace, and why we don't deserve it. And, you know, Yahweh says before, in his word in Corinthians, before we even partake of the Passover each year, we have to examine ourselves and we have to look at ourselves. And it can't just become a ritual, because once it becomes a ritual, then you're pretty much done anyway, because it's so serious. And I want to talk today about the reason why we forgive, because I think forgiveness is probably one of Yahweh's greatest gifts that he gives us. And I think that a lot of people really don't understand it because of their human nature. So I want to start in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 12 says, "And forgive us our offenses, as we also have forgiven those who have offended us." And then drop down to verse 14. "For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." So it's so simple. It's more than one place. I'll only read it once. But if you don't forgive other people, you're not forgiven. And I think that, not that anyone doesn't understand it, because it's not a riddle, it's not hidden, it's there. I just think that the people who don't forgive, because I'm shocked when I see it, and I hear people sometimes say it, "I will never forgive him." And the people that don't forgive are the people that take for granted Yahweh's forgiveness. So the more you feel Yahweh's forgiveness in your life and the need for that, the more you're going to want to forgive other people the same way. But for people that are self-righteous, that, you know, basically, you know, they are, can always see the speck in everybody else's eye without seeing the plank in their own eye, they don't see it in their life. They'll say it. They may say the words, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I need Yahweh's forgiveness," but they don't internalize it, and that's why they can't forgive other people. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. But as we're going to see here, what a great gift forgiveness is. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. "Then Peter drew near to him and said, 'My master, how many times should I forgive my brother with me who was at fault? Should I forgive him to seven times?'" Right, seven is the number of completion. And he's saying, you know, should I forgive seven times? "Yeshua said to him, 'I do not say to you until seven times, but rather until 70 times 77. Wow, that's a lot of times. "Because of this, the kingdom of heaven has been compared to a man, a king, who desired to take account with his slaves. And he, having begun to reckon, one debtor of 10,000 talents was brought near to him. But he, not having anything to repay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all things as much as he had, even to pay back. Then, having fallen down, the slave bowed the knee to him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay all to you.' And being filled with pity, the master of that slave released him and forgave him the loan." Right? So to forgive, you got to have pity. And I think that's the problem. There's people out there that simply do not have pity or mercy. "But having gone out, that slave found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, just a very, very small amount. And seizing him, he choked him, saying, 'Pay me whatever you owe.' And having fallen down at his feet, his fellow slave begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay all to you.' But he would not. But having gone away, he threw him into prison until he should pay back the amount owed. But his fellow slaves, seeing the things happening, they were greatly grieved. And having come, they reported to their master all the things happening. Then having called him near, his master said to him, 'Wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt since you begged me. Ought you not to have mercy on your fellow slave, as I also had mercy on you?' And being angry, his master delivered him up to the tormentors until he paid back all the debt to him. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless each of you from your heart forgives his brother their offenses." And, you know, we're living in the end times where the Bible says because iniquity abounds, you know, the love of many will wax cold. It talks about in the end time people, you know, having a lack of love, being heartless, being traitors, all these different things. And you see it sometimes. I mean, sometimes you see it a lot in things like politics, where people, and not only politics, but in the world, you just see where sometimes people will accuse somebody else of something that they actually did. It's bad enough to falsely accuse someone at all, but to accuse somebody of something that you know you did, and then accuse the other person, and not care if that person is even going to go to prison, you know, or whatever, is absolutely evil. And that's why, as we're going to see here, the gift of forgiveness is so powerful in a believer's life, because not only for us being forgiven by Yahweh, you know, that being internalized, but to be able to go out and give back that forgiveness to somebody else, it's so freeing in your life. And as we're going to see, if not, we see what happens. So let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. It says, therefore, put away from you lying and speaking the truth, each with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with his hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Right? This is the change of life. This is, after baptism, the new creation that Yahweh is making. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And that's why I always said, you know, we have the ability to speak words of life or words of death. And do we think about that? That's why we're to take every thought into captivity and every word into captivity, that we're only speaking words that give life to people. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh of Elohim, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven you through Messiah. So this is what happens, right? If, and I've seen this with sometimes with people, I've seen people that were actually good people, and yet whatever happened, they got so bitter over a situation that it literally will change you. It will change the way you look. It will change the way you are. It will change everything about you. And that's what's going to happen. You're either going to be kind, right, and tenderhearted and forgiving, or you're going to be bitter and angry with turmoil. So that's why he says, put evil speaking away from you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And as a man thinks, so he is. And it's what you're doing, it's what you're thinking, is who you are. It's what you're becoming. And unfortunately, sometimes people will get to the point of no return. They get so bitter that that's just the way they are, and then they won't repent, they won't change, they just stay that way. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And what happens is you fall from grace. Because again, if you're not forgiving others, you will not be forgiven. And if somebody, if any human being really understands, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. If you really see yourself as a sinner and you see the need for Yahweh's grace in your life, like the story I just read, pleading to the master, you know, please forgive me. And then you won't go out and forgive somebody else something less than what Yahweh has to even forgive you. It's just such hypocrisy that, like I said, you wind up falling from grace. And forgiveness really purifies the heart. It really purifies our heart. Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. It says, eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all. Without, we will not see Yahweh. Watch diligently that not any lack from the grace of Yahweh, that no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and through this many are defiled. Right? So that's the key, that when you let that root of bitterness come in on you, and it crowds in on you, you know, so it pushes out Yahweh's grace, it pushes out Yahweh's love, and then it becomes who you are. and you become defiled by it. And then people don't see it. Why? Because they're so self-righteous, they're just seeing what was done to them. And that's just what plays in their mind, the same record over and over and over again. How dare this person did this, blah, 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 blah. And they don't see what they become. They don't see that that root of bitterness has destroyed them and destroyed their spiritual life, destroyed their relationship with Yahweh, destroyed everything about them. Jacob 3 and verse 13. So really when you think about it, and I say this all the time, that when you forgive somebody, you're getting more out of it. It's the same thing when you're giving, right? When you give, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You always get more from giving than the person who's receiving it. Because that's Yahweh's economy. That's the way Yahweh works. And it's the same way with forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you're cleansing your heart. You're purifying your heart. And you're getting that off of it. And then you could put it to rest. You know, I'm the kind of person, I always say this, I like to write things down. You do them. And then when you do, you have daily and weekly and monthly the things you have to do. It feels good as you're checking those things off. And it's the same way. Why does it feel good? Because it's over with. You don't have to think about it anymore. And that's why I always like to get the hardest thing done first, right? It's just like when you're eating. The things on the plate that I don't like as much, I want to eat them first. Get them out of the way. And then I only got good things that are left. Save the best for last, I always say. The other way, if you eat all the good stuff, what's going to happen? In the end, you're going to leave those things. You won't eat them. You'll just leave them on the plate, you know? So it's the same thing here with bitterness. If you don't get that out of the way and cleanse it and end it, it's not leaving. It's going to stay there and, you know, it'll destroy you in the end. Jacob 3 and verse 13. It says, who is wise and knowing among you? Let him prove his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly perfect, then peaceable, gentle, obedient, full of mercy and good fruits, not partial and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace, right? So that's the point. Once you forgive, then your soul is clean and you can move on. But if not, like I said, it's going to come back and that root of bitterness will wind up destroying you. So when you forgive, you're the one that's benefiting more than anybody else at that point. And beside that, Matthew 5 and verse 48, therefore you become perfect or complete as your Father in heaven is perfect. When you forgive, you are literally becoming like Yahweh, right? Because Yahweh forgives us. We don't deserve it. You know, we did the sins. We're asking for mercy and forgiveness. There's no reason for him to forgive us. He didn't do anything wrong. But that's his character. That's his love. That's his compassion. And it's the same with us. You know, that when you forgive somebody, they don't have to repay you for you to forgive them. You just forgive them because you want to become like Yahweh. And it really does. It really, you become a different person. Because when you get the spirit of Yahweh, you're growing in compassion, in pity, in mercy when you show forgiveness. If not, what are you growing in? You're growing in a root of bitterness. You're growing in self-righteousness. You're growing in all the things of Satan. And that's like Yeshua said to the Pharisees. Your father is Satan, the devil. So you have to choose, whose father do you want? Do you want Yahweh the Father or do you want Satan as father? But when we forgive, we become like Yahweh. Hebrews 5. And, you know, sometimes people, they like to play the victim. And I'll tell you one thing, though. You'll never see in your life ever a happy victim. And when you play the victim, maybe for that half a second, it may make you feel like, you know, good. But you'll never be happy. Playing the victim never leaves you with happiness. You know what leaves you with happiness? Being an overcomer. Changing, right? That's what leaves you with happiness, fulfillment. Playing the victim will never leave you with fulfillment. And what will happen is your life will become a victim and you'll start to be a liar. maybe not an outright liar, but when you're the victim, you twist everything where it's not the truth because you're the victim in every situation. So by forgiving and not getting that root of bitterness, you're actually helping yourself not to be a victim. Because none of us are victims. We're victorious, right? It's victory, not victims. We're victorious in Yeshua. We are the most blessed people on the earth. You're one out of 5 million, 10 million people that aren't called, that you're called, that Yahweh called you to be a first fruit in his kingdom. So none of us are victims. We're not victims whatsoever. Hebrews 5, 1 through 5 says, "For every high priest being taken from men is appointed on behalf of men in the things respecting Elohim, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. And he can humble himself and have compassion on those who are ignorant and go astray. For he himself is also subject to weaknesses," right? So it helps us. It helps us to humble ourselves when we're doing this. "And therefore he is obliged, just as he offers sacrifices for the people, as likewise that he also present an offering for himself for his own sins. And no one takes the honor to himself, but he being called by Elohim, even as Aaron was also called. So also the Messiah has not glorified himself to become a high priest, but he glorified the one who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Drop down to verse 8. And though he was a good son, because of the fear and suffering which he endured, he learned obedience," right? So even Yeshua learned obedience through the things he suffered. So you know what? That's why we're here. We're in the world. Yahweh allows us to go through trials and go through suffering to become like him. And if you don't go through these things, you're not going to be purified. You're just going to be filled with pride, arrogance, wanting everything your own way. So we have to look at the trials we go through in life. We have to look at them as a blessing from Yahweh. That it's a way that we grow. It's a way that we become even like Messiah. By suffering, when we have done no wrong, we become perfected and we learn obedience. It is a spiritual sacrifice as a Melchizedek priest, right? And we glorify Yahweh. So that's what happens. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, we see the same thing. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. So when Yeshua, who did no wrong, right? He didn't do any sin his whole life. And he was falsely accused and crucified, put to death, mocked. Did he play the victim? No, of course not. No. As we're going to see, he even forgave the very people who were crucifying him. It says, "Servants, be obedient to your masters," 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, "in all fear, not only to those good and forbearing, but also to the perverted ones," right? So judicial order doesn't only work when everything goes good. It works in every circumstance, even if it's not going for us. "For this is favor before Elohim, if because of conscience anyone bears grief, suffering unjustly. For what glory is it if you patiently endure suffering because of your sinning? But if you are suffering while doing good and patiently enduring it, then your glory is greater before Elohim," right? So if you did something wrong and you're paying the punishment, you know, a crook that's in prison right now for stealing or lying or even killing, he's only getting what he deserved. But if you didn't do anything wrong and you're suffering, look what it says here. It's saying that is greater glory before Elohim. "For you were called to this, for even Messiah suffered on our behalf, leaving behind an example for us that you should follow in his footsteps." Like I said, we have a tradition of a 2,000-year-old body that is a suffering body, a beaten body, a crucified body, "who did not sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who having been reviled, he didn't revile in return. Suffering he did not threaten, but he gave himself up for him who was judging righteously, who himself carried up his body, our sins, onto the tree, that dying to sins we might live to righteousness, of whom by his wounds you are healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now you've turned back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." And like I said, you can't really understand this unless you see Yahweh's forgiveness in your life. Unless you internalize that every day. And you know, if you're doing that much, how much do you thank him for that? Do you every single day thank him for his forgiveness that he's given you? Do you heartfeltly thank him every single day for that? If not, then you don't really appreciate it. And if you don't appreciate the forgiveness in your life, you are going to point the finger and you are going to, you know, you are going to become an accuser of the brethren. So we have to follow the example of the Messiah in all things like this. Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. And Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. In dividing his garments, they cast a lot. So here it was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So it's not only you forgive somebody when they ask for forgiveness. You know, and even then, I mean, I've seen it, where somebody wronged somebody and they come up and say, I know I did wrong, please, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And so, no, I'm not going to forgive you. I'll never forgive you. And it's like, wow, how on earth can that person ever think that Yahweh's going to forgive him? He says very clearly, he doesn't. But he says, even when they don't ask for it, when someone does you wrong, maybe falsely accuses you, like I said, sometimes even accusing you for what they did. Somebody goes to prison for, and the witness was actually the one who did the crime. And Yahweh still says, forgive that person. Because like I said, it frees you. It absolutely frees you. And bitterness will put you in a prison that you don't want to go to. Because again, as a man thinks, so he is. And what your thoughts are on a daily basis is what you become. You know? If you're always angry, you're an angry person. You know, if you're bitter, you're a bitter person. If you're always, you know, thinking you're a victim and you're always sad, then that's the person that you are. Or we can be overcomers. We can be overcomers and we can be victorious and be that kind of person. Do you want to be a life-giving spirit? You know, like it says in Corinthians that Adam was given life, but Yeshua was a life-giving spirit. Do you want to be one that just takes life, or you want to be one that gives life? So here it is, the wicked crowd, they didn't ask for forgiveness. And Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For we yet being without strength, in due time Messiah died for unrighteous ones. For with difficulty one may die for a wicked one, and perhaps even dares to die for the sake of a good one. But Yahweh commends his love to us, and that we yet being sinners, Messiah died for us. So he died for us before, you know, before we were even born, before we asked for forgiveness. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and we need to do the same. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, or do you abuse the riches of his kindness and forbearance and the opportunity he has given you, not knowing that the kindness of Yahweh leads you to repentance, right? So that's what leads people to repentance and change of life, is Yahweh's mercy and Yahweh's kindness. So how do you know that person that you're so bitter against, that person that you won't forgive, how do you know that maybe by showing him the same mercy that Yahweh showed you, that that can lead him to repentance? You know, everybody starts somewhere. You know, and some of the people, look at the Apostle Paul, the way that he started out, you know, against the believers. Acts 7 and verse 58. And they seized him and took him outside the city and were stoning him. This is talking about Stephen. And those who testified against him laid their garments at the feet of a certain young man who was called Shaul, the Apostle Paul. And they were stoning Stephen while he prayed. And he said, our master Yeshua, receive my spirit. And after he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice and said, our master, do not cause this sin to stand against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. He died. So how do we know that that actually didn't play on Paul's conversion? The fact that Stephen was forgiving him, right? Could have been the turning point in his life. Grace is unmerited pardon. When we forgive those who do evil to us and despitefully use us, then we are experiencing the greatest gift that Yahweh can give us in life. We are able to experience what it feels like for him to give grace to others. We are in essence becoming like him. So that is, it is such a gift. And like I said, no matter what the person did to you, you are the one that's freed by it. And it is such a gift that Yahweh, and it only comes from Yahweh, because even your ability, you could say the words, there's a lot of people that will say the words and not really forgive somebody. But if you really forgive somebody from the heart, and that's what it says, then it is such a freeing, it is such a gift from Yahweh and becoming more like him. Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and if not, look what it says. Do not condemn that you may not be condemned. For For with whatever condemnation you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. And this is where the self-righteous person, though, and that's why it's one of the worst sins, because people don't see it. They become so blinded. Like I said, Satan the devil. He's so blinded to himself that he just doesn't see what a wicked, you know, evil person, being that he is. So people don't see that if you're judging this way, you're going to be judged the same. We are to judge the sin, the action, not the sinner, right? And sometimes when you do that, even people will say, where is the love? You know, I've heard that before. Oh, where's the love? There's no love. No. When you're judging the sin, you are showing love for somebody. When you have to put somebody out of the congregation because they're living a lifestyle of sin, that's love. Because if they don't repent, they're going to go to the lake of fire. So the Amish, who are some of the most loving people you ever see in the world, they practice shunning out of love for the person. And if the person repented and changed, they'd take them right back into the congregation the same way we would. But I got to say, in all the years that you know, we've had our congregation, maybe a couple of times we had to do that with somebody, but very, very rarely. But if somebody is living in sin, they do have to be put out of the congregation for that. So we judge the sin, not the sinner. When we don't forgive another unconditionally, we are becoming judge and jury and judging the heart and motive of the offender when we don't even know why, in a lot of cases, why they did it, right? So that's the point. Sometimes you're judging, you don't even know why somebody did it. You know, it could still be a sin, but were they stealing because they were trying to feed their starving child? You know, what is it? So by unconditionally forgiving the offending party, we protect ourselves from wrongly judging. Also, in some cases, we may never see the person again. And if we don't forgive, we could be harboring bitterness for years when maybe that person repented. You know, I meet thousands and thousands of people all the time. And a lot of the people I never see again. There's a lot of people that I've known from 20, 30, 40 years ago that I've never seen again. So I don't know if they've changed. So if I'm going to sit here with this bitterness, and I've had it sometimes talking to someone, and they'll be so angry and bitter toward, you know, maybe even a pastor they had before or something, or something that happened, and I'm thinking, wow, this must have just happened like a week or two ago. I'm like, when did that happen? Oh, back in 1982. It's like, wow. And you're still holding that bitterness, having no idea, like I said, maybe the person changed, maybe they repented. So by you forgiving them, you know, it doesn't mean that they're off the hook for whatever they did. And that's the thing sometimes, that people feel like, no, if I forgive them, you know, and they didn't ask for forgiveness or they didn't repent, then they're off. No, what it means is you're giving the judgment up to Yahweh. If we go to Matthew 10 and verse 12, look what it says. Very interesting scripture. But entering into the house, greet it, right? It says when you go out, you go into the house, entering, greet the house. And if the house truly is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, having gone out of the house, shake off the dust from your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tranquil for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in judgment day than for that city. So when you forgive somebody, they're not off the hook for whatever they did to you or, you know, somebody else. What it means is by forgiving them, you're giving the judgment over to Yahweh. And then, like I said, they might repent and then Yahweh will forgive them. Or they may never repent. Then on judgment day, they are going to pay for that. So what you're doing is you're simply giving yourself the blessing of not bearing a root of bitterness. And like I said, it's so freeing not to have bitterness and to forgive and to let it go. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, then do not judge anything before the time until the Master comes, who will both shed light on the hidden things of darkness and will reveal the counsels of the heart, and then praise will be to each one from Yahweh, right? So don't judge anything before it's time. Just forgive. Give it up to Yahweh. Let him be the judge. And then when the time comes on that judgment day, either the person has repented and be forgiven, which we should all be happy, or they're going to pay the penalty of it. But free yourself by leaving it up to Yahweh. You know, judge nothing before its time. Jacob 4:10-12. It says, be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He that speaks against a brother and is judging a brother, he speaks against the Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you are not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. For there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judges your neighbor? Come now, those saying, today or tomorrow we will go into this city or that city. I'll just stop there for now. But Yahweh is the judge. He's the judge. So why are we going to be judging other people and putting our judgments there and then keeping a root of bitterness? Why not simply let that all go out, accept the gift of forgiveness from Yahweh in our life for our sins, and then share it with other people, right? That's what we want to do. Because, like I said, the very definition of grace is the ability to want to give back. You want to give that grace to other people. So there's one lawgiver and one judge, that's Yahweh, not us. So by forgiving, like I said, we're simply leaving it up to him to be the righteous judge. Acts 2:38. And this is on the day of Shavuot. It says, Peter said to him, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness. So, repentance is a prerequisite to receive the Spirit of Yahweh. And I say it, probably half the people that are baptized simply get wet. They don't receive the Spirit because either they're not believing in faith that Yeshua died for their sins, or they're not repenting. You know, repenting isn't just saying you're sorry. It's literally seeing your human nature for what it is. And it's destroying that life. It's building a new life in Yahweh. So you have to repent and believe to receive Yahweh's grace and forgiveness. Whenever there is an offense, there's always two parties involved and two steps to reconciliation. The first is we must unconditionally forgive the other party who has offended us. And then the sinning party must repent of his sin in order to receive the repentance and forgiveness from Yahweh when the sin is against him. So that's the two sides of forgiveness. We have to unconditionally forgive the other party who has offended us, and then the sinning party must repent of his sin in order to receive the repentance and forgiveness before Yahweh. Because like I said, all sin is before him. That's in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. In verse 4. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. So that's what we realize. And that's why Yahweh says, you know, since all sin is against him, even something that somebody did to you, they're sinning, they're breaking Yahweh's law. So that's the reason why, you know, we want to forgive them, but Yahweh will only forgive them if they're going to repent from what they did. Let's go to Numbers 14:18. It says, Yahweh is slow to anger and of great mercy, bearing away iniquity and transgression, and by no means will he clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the sons, on the third to the fourth generation. So, you know, it's not like the world, where the world just thinks the false grace, that you can just continue in sin and Yahweh's love and grace, and, you know, that's not what it is. It's repentance that makes Yahweh have the heart of mercy to forgive us. But if there's no repentance there, then that person is going to be accountable. So that's why when we sin again, or when we forgive once again, we don't have to feel that justice isn't being served because the person didn't repent. No, justice is served. What we're doing is we're becoming like Yahweh. And like I said, it's so freeing your life, and you're letting all that bitterness and that anger you might have had go away. And you're allowing the Spirit of Yahweh to fill you and becoming more like Him. Let's go to Matthew 10. Or I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 14 and 15. It says, but if anyone does not obey our word through this epistle, mark that one and do not associate with him that he may be shamed. But do not count him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. So like I was just saying a few minutes ago. So if somebody doesn't repent, and if they won't change, we still forgive them. But you may have to even put them out of the congregation. You know, because that's what happens. You know, yet if unless there's a consequence for a bad action, right? And that's why you reap what you sow. That's why Yahweh made it that way. Then somebody's never going to change. So that's the point, you know, that if somebody is doing something or sinning, and that's why unfortunately a big one is with the divorce and remarriage, you know, when a believer who knows that it's adultery and would do it anyway and go and leave their spouse and marry another one, they'd have to be shunned by the congregation, because if not, they're going to lose their eternal life. So putting somebody out of the congregation when they won't repent is an act of love. It's an act of love so that that person won't die, so that person will change. But still, the judgment is up to Yahweh. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Ezekiel 18. And verse 20. It says, the soul that sins, it shall die. A son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, and a father shall not bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon him. But the wicked, if he will turn from his sins, which he has done, and keep all the statutes and do justice and righteousness, living, he will live. He will not die. All his transgressions that he has done, they shall not be mentioned to him in the righteousness which he has done. He shall live. Do I take pleasure and delight in the death of the wicked? Declares Adonai Yahweh. Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? Right? So that's all Yahweh wants. He doesn't take pleasure in people going to the lake of fire. He just wants us to turn from those ways. And even the lake of fire is merciful in the end, because somebody who won't change, somebody who's going to live that way, somebody who is just going to live in sin and not repent, you know, and falsely accuse, it's an act of mercy to send them to the lake of fire so that they don't have to go through eternity living miserable. So even that, and that's what Yahweh says, but he doesn't want that. What he wants people to do is to repent and to change. Drop down to verse 30. I will judge you, each man by his ways, O house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. Turn and be made to turn from all your transgressions and iniquity. Shall not be a stumbling block to you. Cast away all your transgressions from you, by which you have transgressed in them, and make for yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I do not delight in the death of him who dies, declares Adonai Yahweh. So turn and live. So turn and live. Yahweh's will is for all to come to repentance. But we have free will, and we must freely choose to repent and accept his forgiveness. The guilty will not go unpunished, but we want to make sure that somebody else's sin is not causing us to lose our grace. So we don't have to worry that, you know, that's the world today. You see it in politics. You see it everywhere, right? That it looks like people are getting away with it. You know, like the book of Habakkuk, why do the wicked prosper? But it's only for a short time. You know, Yahweh will not be mocked. And there is a judgment day and people are going to pay for that. But we don't want someone else's sin to cause us to sin, to cause us to fall from grace. The guilty will not go unpunished, but we want to make sure that somebody else's sin is not causing us to lose our grace. We want to experience grace to others that Yahweh has bestowed on us, and follow in the footsteps of Yeshua and unconditionally forgive. That's what we have to do. Because like I said in Romans 3:23, all are sinners and fall short from the glory of Yahweh. So we want to make sure that we are not losing our grace by holding bitterness against somebody else. Let's turn to Psalm 103. Let's turn to Psalm 103. In verse 8. Psalm 103, starting in verse 8. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and of abundant mercy. He will not always strive, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not done to us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are above the earth, so is his mercy mighty over those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the pity of a father over his son, so Yahweh pity those who fear him. Wow. So that's what Yahweh does. And that's another thing. When you forgive somebody, you don't keep bringing it up. You know, somebody, here it is, somebody may have wronged you in some way. Maybe they've even made a comment to you, whatever it is. And they say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And you say, okay, I forgive you, and that's it. And then all of a sudden, you know, 5 years later, when something comes up, it's like, yeah, like the time you did this or the time you did that. And it's like, Yahweh puts our sins from the east to the west. Would you want Yahweh doing that in your life? Would you want every time, you know, because we're repenting every single day to Yahweh. Would you want him to come back to you and be saying, oh, yeah, yeah, you want forgiveness. Well, you know, you said this the last time and you're doing the same thing. Of course not. And that's why, the same as Yahweh takes our sins and puts them from the east to the west, we have to do the same thing. He doesn't remember them no more. And the other thing is, don't bring your sins up to Yahweh. It's saying he's forgetting them and putting them away. And I've seen people sometimes, they're talking there, and like, oh yeah, well, before I was a believer, I did this and this. And it's like, why would you even be bringing that up? Something that you've been forgiven and Yahweh forgot? Why do you want to remind him for something that bad that you did? So this is why this scripture is really, really powerful. Yahweh doesn't only forgive, but he forgets, and we have to be the same way. We want to make sure that, like I said, and that's why it's really interesting that it didn't just say in Matthew, you have to forgive the person. It said, but you have to forgive them from your heart. You have to really forgive them. It's not about saying the words, but it's about in your heart forgiving that other person. And like I said, then it frees yourself. And Yahweh really has been showing me something recently. It's something I'm going to be teaching at the Bible school, you know, on the great human potential. And it really is amazing how he made us and how our mind works and how our body works. But literally, your thoughts, like it says, thought becomes action, action becomes sin, sin becomes death. Or thought becomes good action becomes fruit, fruit becomes to eternal life. That your thoughts that are going on every day, and this is why you have to take every thought into captivity, makes the person you are. And we're living in a world, and this is why Yahweh says to stay separate from the world, because you are affected. You are affected by what you're watching and what you're surfing on the internet and, you know, being on all these things of the worldly things. But what that does is it's molding your mind into something. And whatever your mind is going to be molded into, that's where your thoughts are going to turn into words. And those words are going to turn into actions. And then that's who you are. So it is so important that we understand this. And it's actually, you know, this is part of the class I'm going over. This is actually scientific. It's actually through science that you could prove this. You know, that you can actually see scientifically, you know, how love works, how the language of love works, and how it happens. And that's why the base of that, the cornerstone of that is forgiveness. And it is just so powerful in a life. It's so powerful to get forgiveness. And that's why you have to cherish that forgiveness that Yahweh has given to us. You've got to cherish that forgiveness that he's given in your life. Not just the day you get baptized, but every day of your life, you've got to cherish it. And the way you could really prove to him that you're cherishing that forgiveness is by giving to somebody else. Right? That's the way that you prove it to Yahweh. So, I pray that you really could understand this, because it's, like I said, it's the cornerstone, it's the foundation in life. Without getting forgiveness and without giving forgiveness, grace really means nothing. You know, that's where our callings come in from. So we've all been wronged by somebody. The Apostle Paul, if you think about it, he had to meet with families of people, possibly, that he was involved with, you know, torturing or even murdering their relative. David, King David, is going to have to meet with Uriah the Hittite in the kingdom and explain to him, you know, why he allowed what he did with allowing, putting him to die like that. We need to become like Yahweh, and it all comes down to letting your pride die, because it is humble. It is humbling to accept forgiveness. It's humbling to give forgiveness. So when you have to ask Yahweh for forgiveness and accept his forgiveness, it's a very, very humbling thing in our life. And it's also humbling to give that forgiveness out to somebody else. So we want to be like Yahweh. We want to grow like him, because his mercy is unending. You know, and to think that this being that has no beginning and no end and is just always been there and is eternal and over everything, you know, that he created us not to be servants, to just serve him, but created us to be his children and to be with him. And the mercy and the pity and the kindness and the forgiveness that he gives us that none of us deserve. Should we do less? Should we do less to others? Nope. We want to let the pride die, and we want to leave all judgment up to Yahweh. Forgiveness is a powerful tool for us to grow in the spirit and to be like him. Forgiveness literally cleanses our soul. So I pray you're having a blessed feast. And until next time, Yahweh bless. Haksameach.